Everybody, welcome to the press. Great to have you with us for our super show this week. We're going to combine everything in one episode. It's been a long week for me personally. Today is my birthday, so I'm 42 today, 42 trips around the sun. Happy to talk golf with you today. We got plenty to get to. We're going to talk about the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. We'll talk about the LPGA in Utah for the Black Desert Championship. We'll touch briefly on LIV Golf in Korea and then the Korn Ferry Tour down in Mexico. So we're going to try and take everything that we do in one week, put into one show. We didn't do shows last week because everything was insane and really didn't feel like talking about the Zurich Classic, to be honest with you. It's not a tournament I like to bet, and I didn't really have a whole lot of thoughts otherwise. So we just kind of took the week off to reset this week because of my golf coaching that I do. I coach a high school golf team, my high school's golf team. This is our last week of the season, so big matches, three matches. Actually, I have one right after this recording, so lots to get to, but I want to get into these tournaments for you. It's an interesting week. Tournament-wise, and then start to kind of build up to the PGA Championship. So let's get into the CJ Cup. Byron Nelson played for this is the fifth year now, TPC Craig Ranch in McKinney, Texas. This is a Tom Weisskopf design. Interestingly enough, a Tom Weisskopf week, at least in terms of American golf. You've got Weisskopf design here in McKinney, Texas. You've got a Weisskopf design, his last at Black Desert Resort for the LPGA. We'll come back to that. And you're going to see some common themes between these courses. Wide open playing ways, great for kind of errant drivers of the ball to get the ball in play, big putting surfaces. That was how Weisskopf thought about a lot of his stuff toward the tail end of his career, really middle and tail end of his design career. So par 71 for the men this week, 75-61 on the card. That's not very long by modern standards, especially when the ball flies in the heat. Almost a $10 million purse, $1.9 million to the winner, 500 FedEx Cup points to the champion this week, not 50, as there's on the graphic. Betting odds for the week, I think you can kind of get to see the flavor of the field really quickly, right? This is an offshore book. I've seen Scottie Scheffler plus 275. This is plus 305 for Scottie Scheffler this week. He's by far the best player in the field. It's not even close. Modeling makes it not even close, and you can see it reflected in the betting market. So you're basically either thinking Scottie wins or you get value. And if you think Scottie's going to win, then you want to have the bet without market. That exists out there. You're not going to get as good of a price, of course. You know, Jordan Spieth goes from 20-1 probably to 10-1. In the market without. But if you want to consider that as a possibility, and I don't think that you should, by the way, I think you should stay away from that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Scheffler has not won this year. He's not won on this course. He does play well on it, but he plays well everywhere. So you're trying to tell me that you would bet him a plus 275 to win and then go and take on some winner without where everything gets super juicy. I think if you think Scheffler's going to win, as much as I hate to say it, just bet him at plus 305 and don't do a darn thing else. Why are we here? If you want to take that angle of attack, make one bet this week and just forget about it, and hopefully it works out for you. Otherwise, let's get into some of these other numbers. Spieth 20-1 has a good record here. Mediocre season, I would say not for his standards. Mediocre in general. Sam Burns 25, Sungjae 25. I think they're both interesting plays. Sam Burns been playing better. Sungjae's been playing better. Sungjae seems to like here. I think 25 is worth a decent play. Ben Ahn's 33. He's a horse for course. Siwoo's 35, along with Steven Yeager, defending champion, Taylor Pendrith, they're all 35. I think, again, you're looking at guys kind of in that range that are worth playing because they like the golf course. Steven Yeager hits the crap out the ball. He's been playing really well on the approach. You're going to see that in a later graphic on the show. I think he is worth a play at 35. I think Pendrith is worth a play at 35. You like him here to repeat. We've obviously had that happen with KH Lee winning the first 2 years back-to-back. That's not necessarily going to pretend a future result. And I have plenty of Taylor Pendrith money sitting around otherwise, so I don't necessarily need any more of that, but I wouldn't oppose that bet. Jake Knapp at 40-1, I think, is absolutely worth a play. Same theory of the case, which is guys that hit the ball far, they don't have to put it in play. You hit the big greens, take advantage of the par fives, and that should be pretty good. I think that's where you're going to see a lot of hedging this week. Matt Hughes has been playing pretty well. He's going to show up on a couple graphics. Obviously, Ben Griffin, too, just got his first PGA Tour win at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans with Andrew Novak. Congratulations to him on that. I don't want to play him here. I don't think he's long enough, to be honest with you. I know Jordan Spieth's got a good record here, and he's not the longest player either, but I just think Griffin's probably had a lot taken out of him. Jacob Bridgman's been playing pretty well, has some top 15 finishes. You'll see that in a few minutes. I think may get some play this week. I will not play him. Rasmus Højgaard just had a good finish with his brother Nikolai, finishing second at the Zurich Classic. I could see some Mo there. Rasmus has been playing pretty well. Ryuhei Setsun played well, got into the signature event at RBC. Taylor Moore is 55. Tom Kim's 55. Zalatoris 55 again. I don't love those guys because of the kind of relative lack of length off the tee and really just not playing great overall. If you're going to look at someone who's just kind of playing good, I think Ryan Gerard's a great fit this week. I'm going to bet him at 60-1. I would bet Sami Välimäki if he was more like 80-1. I think he's too short here for what you get. He is a great approach player and has been playing better. I want to focus on Gerard, though. He won at Thornton Blake Club last year in the BMW Charity Pro-Am on the Korn Ferry Tour, and I think that is a comparable course to here at TPC Craig Ranch. Fairly wide open, not so wide open that it's ridiculous. Like a little bit longer, bigger putting surfaces. He played great there and won, kind of in a runaway. So I do like Ryan Gerard this week on that number. Isaiah Celinda, I think you could see some comparisons to the Mexico Open to a degree. Not quite as wide open, of course, as down there, but I think you can see some comparisons. So I like him on that number of 70-1. If you want to go with the higher priced Højgaard, Nicolai is 70-1. Not going to dissuade you. Let's get into the model for this week. This is a little bit different than what we've been seeing the last few weeks, right? With those signature events, you know, the players, obviously the Masters, a little different top 10, right? Not as high powered. Scottie Scheffler by far and away number one. Danny Walker is number two just because of lack of starts and the players still kicking in. He doesn't have a lot working against him. I would actually rank him more like in the 30s or 40s, but I'm just giving you the honest model here because that's what we do. Sungjae Im, third. Siwoo, fourth. Eric Cole, fifth. I'm dissuaded to bet Eric Cole because I just don't think he hits it far enough. Steven Yeager, sixth. Ben Griffin, seventh. Brian Campbell, eighth. I'm thinking Brian Griffin because I'm thinking about Family Guy. Ben Griffin, seventh. Brian Campbell, eighth. Again, Brian Campbell buoyed a whole heck of a lot by, obviously, that win in Mexico, but also buoyed by a good Masters performance because of the way that we do our model. Again, we give a look at a 1 and 2 year window. We look at PGA Tour strokes gain performance relative to the strength of the field this week overall and rating it against the quality of the competition that you play against every week. So in Brian Campbell's case, he obviously gained a lot of strokes winning in Mexico. He also gained quite a bit of strokes playing pretty decently at the Masters tournament because you get a 2 multiple for that because you had a 100 level tournament in terms of official World Golf Ranking points in the first place. You can see this full model, by the way, if you're a member of Golf News Net for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years at golfnewsnet.com. You get to access to 1 to 156 or 1 to 144, you know, whatever it is every week. But we do the top 10 here because most weeks it's really not that surprising. I am kind of surprised Isaiah Celinda did show up here in the top 10. Seamus Power is in the top 10. I don't really love Seamus Power being in the top 10, but I do like Celinda being in the top 10. I think he fits the theory of the case and has also just played pretty well, pretty darn well in his first season on the PGA Tour. Come up with Korn Ferry Tour. Some horses for courses. Again, fifth year at Craig Ranch. Weird place. Don't love it. It's not horrible. I just don't love it. It's not my favorite. But if you look at who's played well here, it's a wide variety of guys. So if you think my theory of the case is bunk, you look at this list. K.H. Lee, power player. Taylor Pendrith, power player. Ben Ahn, not so much. Siwoo, certainly not. Ryan Palmer and Jordan Spieth certainly aren't. Scotty Scheffler is, right? So a little mixture there. I think for the case of Palmer and Spieth, they're guys who are not the most accurate and not the longest. So it kind of helps a little bit. They can hit to angles, perhaps, and kind of get themselves out of some trouble. And also the Texas angle. A lot of Texans play this tournament. Three bottom guys are Texans. H. Lee plays in Texas. So, you've got guys who are home in Texas playing this tournament. So maybe that helps to a degree. They just have more exposure to the property or something. But it is an interesting mixture of guys who have multiple top 15 finishes in the 4 years that they've been at Craig Ranch. And I think also part of that is that this event doesn't always have a good, strong field. We've got 9 top 50 players this week. I think that's the worst of the season. So, which is crazy to me, by the way, because you're playing for a $10 million purse. But looking at that depth of field, and you get that most years, you know, anywhere from 9 to 12 top 50 players, well, you're bound to get a couple of outliers. But most of the players here are guys you expect. They're either good ball strikers like Ben Ahn or Siwoo. Jordan Spieth's a great ball striker. Ryan Palmer's a good ball striker. Taylor Pendrith, K.H. Lee, just long guys. I mean, they're they're good players, obviously, and Scottie Scheffler's doing everything right. So I think that's an interesting graphic there. And then just to reiterate, since we've been at Craig Ranch, we've had three guys win in 4 years. Occasionally, the first 2 years back-to-back, Jason Day, Taylor Pendrith. So interesting mixture there. For Jason Day, it was kind of like the comeback completing win. So, but he's not playing this week. So you got multiple top 15 finishes in your last five tournaments. So these are guys we would consider horses for courses. Last time we did this show, we had two columns of like 10 guys because that was for the Heritage. That was everybody coming off of a big run of great tournaments. We don't have that this week. Much more pared down list of guys. This is in alphabetical order. Jacob Bridgman, Eric Cole, Ryan Gerard, Rico Hoey, Mac Hughes, Sun JM, and Chan Kim. Interestingly, Scottie Scheffler's not on this list. That doesn't mean he's playing poorly. It's just the way the last five events fell. Because we also, in that span, had Oppo and the Zurich Classic. So you kind of start to lose a little bit of that. But that's an interesting layout there. I know there are going to be a good number of people on Rico Hoey this week. Again, Eric Cole shows up because he's playing well. I don't love him here in the course, but he is playing very well. Same with Jacob Bridgman. I don't love him here, but he's playing well. Chan Kim, I've bet him two or three times and never had anything I've enjoyed with that experience. So I'm not going to bet him. But at 80-1 or whatever his number is, that's not the worst. Mac Hughes is kind of interesting too. Playing better, but I don't think he's a great fit. Rico Hoey is kind of the guy. He's almost my stock bet for a first-round leader play. I just love the way that he plays golf, especially a start tournament. It's kind of like Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell, Rico Hoey, same kind of guy, different nationality, play great to start, and then fade away. All right, let's get into the field a little bit more here with all that information, right? Eric Cole, 80-1, I think is an interesting number with Rico Hoey. Henrik Norlander is going to show up on a couple of slides. Again, great approach player. He does kind of find a way in these weaker tournaments to keep his PGA Tour status, so maybe that kind of carries over this week. Cam Davis is kind of interesting. I think you could see some parallel between Country Club of Detroit and here. Some, I mean, it's a little bit more closed off in Detroit. Here, a little bit more wide open, but same idea. Not, obviously not a Donald Ross, but same idea. I think you could see some power, some worth there. Michael Thorbjørnsen, I think I am going to play at 90-1. I see a lot of value in him coming off of a good finish in Punta Cana. And kind of fading at the first opportunity to win. Maybe learn something from that. It was a tough scoring day in general anyhow. So I think there's some takeaways from that. And he just hits the hell out of the ball. I think you can put the ball in play. You just got to put the ball in play, give the kid a chance. I think he's got a good opportunity here this week. Lee Hodges, you're going to see in a future slide, 100-1 kind of interests me quite a bit. He is gaining like heck on the approach. Everything else not so good. So, okay, you can hit the ball anywhere. Maybe that helps him a lot. Seems to do well in the TPC courses. So my first theory about Lee Hodges was he likes places with a lot of water in play. We obviously don't have that here, but I'm willing to also take the benefit here of being able to hit it anywhere, given he's playing really well in the approach. Sam Stevens shows up in a graphic later. Not going to bet him, but like him. Matt McCarty's playing a little bit better, 110-1. Kitayama's kind of interesting. Again, trying to take, if you see some value in a parallel between Mexico and here, Kitayama's a guy to consider. Given how far he hits the ball, I think he might be an interesting play. He's just not playing well. Let's go a little bit deeper. You go to Bo Hostler, like him at 125-1. I think there's a lot of, if you don't think that Scottie Scheffler is going to win this, I think this is where you really want to win in this graphic, 120 to 200 or even deeper guys this week, because I think this is a tournament where a rando can win or a Korn Ferry Tour grad. So that brings in, you know, your Aldrich Potgieter at 150. That brings in a Matty Schmidt at 150. He's not a Korn Ferry Tour guy, but he hits the ball far and kind of likes these types of places. That brings in a Ryan Fox, who's starting to figure it out. That brings in a Hayden Springer. I would like him more for a first-round leader play than anything. That brings in, you know, like a Pearson Cootie, who's playing well when he plays on the Korn Ferry Tour, but he's not, maybe he's somewhere in between a Korn Ferry Tour grad and here, right? But Texan might be an interesting play here this week. And then going a little bit deeper than that, like a Christo Lamprecht, who's been fielding his craft on the Korn Ferry Tour, playing very well down there. Joe Bramlett, relatively consistent guy with a lack of starts. Those guys hit the ball pretty hard. I think they're kind of interesting to me. There's Kevin Velo. It's out there at like 1,001. He's not on this graphic. I think he's kind of interesting at that kind of number. I think you could take some shots this week and not feel too bad about it in the end. So this isn't a full listing. This is 95 of the 156. You're going to find bigger prices as an offshore book too, so it's not going to capture everybody. But I just wanted to kind of point that out. I think that if you're – this is your week to go crazy on the long shots. I think it is worth the gamble, okay? So just put that out there. Let's go and look at kind of some of the things we normally talk about in the second show, a little bit more in depth. But these graphics are a little bit more interesting this week compared to the Heritage or the Masters, because there's way more disparity than what you normally would get in a high quality field. So, this is our short term form graphic where we're trying to look at players who are gaining 1.2 strokes in total or more on the average per round in the last 10. Quality strokes gained of 1.5 per round or more. And then separately, guys who are gaining on the approach, strokes gained approach, 0.6 per round or more. If you're watching this, you're going to see there are very few people on those first two columns. Scottie Scheffler's on both. Zach Blair somehow on the 1.2. I don't even know where to begin with that. Henrik Norlander and Jacob Bridgman are in the total graphic, but they have all been playing weak competition, which tells you that they don't carry over. They're not playing good opponents. They've gained strokes because they're playing not-so-great fields. Well, we have a not-so-great field this week. Maybe that's a value. Then in the quality strokes gain category, guys who aren't quite gaining that 1.2 number, but they're playing quality competition like Davis Riley and Zach Johnson, who had, you almost have to take Zach Johnson out of it because it's all in the Masters, right? I wouldn't have him in that list otherwise. And then you've got a relatively long list of players who are doing well in the approach. Lee Hodges at the top of that list. Rico Hoey, there's Henrik Norlander again. Danny Walker, Zalatoris, Anders Albertsen, Scottie Scheffler, Sammy Valimaki, a couple of Euros, and Torbjörn Olesen, and Victor Perez, Davis Riley, and Steven Yeager. So I think Steven Yeager is worth a thought here. We know he drives it far. If he's hitting it well on the approach, you'd think we're looking at a good case for, making putts, birdies and eagles. I think it's an interesting play. If you were to look at this graphic this week, I would avoid the first two columns entirely, and I would focus exclusively on the strokes gained approach to try to kind of buoy some of your thoughts about some players if you are so inclined. All right, let's look at strokes gained tee to green leaders with low variance. Again, really interesting graphic because of the field this week. Alex Smalley, who was probably the darling of, 3 weeks ago, thinking about Punta, 2 weeks ago, thinking about Punta Cana, didn't pan out, weird conditions. Doug Gim, Joe Bramlett, Henrik Norlander, those guys are relatively consistent. They're decent players. They just, their ceiling is very low, but their bar is, the floor is pretty high for what they get, their access, their starts. Then you got Torbjörn Olesen and Taylor Pendrith in there. Again, we know what we're getting with Pendrith. We're getting a guy who hits the crap out the ball and probably gives himself some good opportunities to score. And he's not the best putter, so we take putting out of it. If he puts well, he can win. If he doesn't putt well, he's probably going to be pretty okay. Then this graphic really intrigued me because looking at it from the last time we did the show, the top 20 percentage in the last 50 events of players on the PGA Tour, any of the last 50 events, whatever ones you played, 40% of more of those were a top 20. Four guys on this list. Last time we did this, there were like 20 guys. Scottie Scheffler, Sungjae Im, Ryan Gerard, Alex Noren. Okay, so I like Gerard because he is consistent. Again, I see the parallel of the course this week. I think it makes sense to play him. And then some for your first round leader fiends out there, guys who are first round leaders in strokes gain in the 4 years that this event has been at TPC Craig Ranch over there on the left. You've got in order Taylor Pendrith, David Skins, Alex Smalley, Sam Stevens, Scottie Scheffler, and Eric Cole. Then just looking overall in the last 50, if you want some kind of buoying, Scottie Scheffler, Noren, Lauer, Hostler, Dylan Wu, Hayden Springer, Rico Hoey. So Rico Hoey is just kind of that first round merchant. Same with Keith Mitchell, but he WD'd. Hayden Springer is the same way, plays well early and fades. It's interesting to see that. So not too much parallel. Obviously Scheffler's on both because he's Scottie Scheffler. Not a whole lot of carryover otherwise. I think I would tend to favor the this event column just because this week's a little bit different in terms of kind of your standard PGA Tour course. All right, let's go over to the Black Desert Championship on the LPGA. Again, normally this would be its own episode, right? But we're going to pack it all together today. Black Desert Championship, Tom Weisskopf Week continues in America. The LPGA is debuting at the Black Desert Resort. Tom Weisskopf Design in Ivins, Utah. Same place that hosted, same golf course that hosted the Black Desert Championship on the PGA Tour, which Matt McCarty won coming off the Korn Ferry Tour last year. 66-29, so, you know, 700-800 yards less than what the PGA Tour is playing. From what I've been told, they actually have grown some rough. I don't know if they're going to stick with it, but what I was told, they grew some rough for this tournament because the fear is the LPGA players are so accurate off the tee that they want to make it a little bit tougher for them. $3 million purse, $450K to the winner, 500 CME Globe points to the champion. Let's take a look at the betting odds. Again, this is a relatively limited group. I've got it. I don't have as many graphics for this one. But what you see is you don't have Nelly, you don't have Gino, you don't have Lydia. Your highest ranked player in the field is Lilia Vu, and she's 35-1 on fears of your back issues. So look at the top of the table. Heyram Ryu, 14-1, along with Minji Lee, which I think is kind of interesting. I could see some parallels to her winning that U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles, relatively wide open. Great driver of the golf ball. Aylin Kim surprised me last week, 16-1, not playing well at the Chevron. She's been playing great this year. Maybe she comes back. Then you have Ryo Takeda and Ronin Yin, 18-1 each. I think Takeda is the player I like among the favorites this week. Just so steady. In a new venue, she can play wherever. Ronin Yin had a really good week, obviously got in the playoff at the Chevron. Hopefully you enjoyed the show that we did with the LPGA. We did a highlight show recapping everything from Texas. That was a really cool collab that we got to do. So thanks to the LPGA for that. Ayaka Furue, 20-1 with Miyu Yamashita. Again, two players I love. The Japanese players, super consistent. They're going to play well everywhere. Charlie Hall is kind of the big name, big draw, 22-1 with Hyuju Kim, who also was in the five-person playoff at Chevron. Aki Uwai, I think a lot of people are going to bet this week, 25-1. Masahata Oka, Allison Corpuz, Chisato Iwai, Aki's sister, is 28-1. They both rate out very well. You'll see that in the model graphics. Sarah Schmelzel played pretty well last week at times, 28-1. Haijin Choi, Jin Hee Im, 30-1. Ari Jatanyagarn could be really interesting this week. She had it. I mean, it was in her hands to win last week, and she kind of let it slip away on the back nine there with bogeys on both par fives in the back. Ina Yoon, I like quite a bit this week at 33-1 as well. If you don't think Jatanyagarn's going to kind of bounce back, Mao Saigo's playing again. She's got to be exhausted, man. Like, she just won a major championship. I'd stay away from her. Lilia Vu's 35-1. Ingrid Lindblad just won 33-1. Maybe still coming off of that a little bit. And then Esther Henslade, I will bet this week at 40-1. Wanted to show you the model for the week, which we've been starting to do this year for the LPGA. Aki Uwai is number one. Again, we don't have a ton of data points about her relative to other players, but that's kind of wild to me. Takeda second, Lindblad third. Again, lack of data points, and one of them's a win. She ran up the ranking. Miyu Yamashita's four. That makes sense. Charlie Hall, Furue, five and six. Ronin Yin is seven. Heyram Ryu, eight. Minji Lee, nine. Chisato Iwai, 10. I mean, none of those are particularly surprising, I don't think. If you look a little bit deeper on this list, I mean, I think you can make some cases. Maybe like a Brooke Henderson gets right here. She's 50-1. Again, not played very well this year, but wide open driving wise. Same thing with Patty Tavitanikit. I think you could think about players you just bang the ball because they can hit it almost anywhere. It's so wide for the professional golfer. I get made fun of for betting Stephanie Kiriakou a lot, but this is the kind of place that works for her. She played well in Las Vegas in the match play, so that was recent. I could see some value there. Mayu Stark, who could not find the broadside of a barn for a while, is 90-1 in this field. I think that tells you about the field. She'd be like more 200, 300-1 if you had a couple better players in here. Cassie Porter's been playing better. 125-1 is kind of interesting. We've kind of laid off Gabby Ruffles because she finished last year so well, but is playing so poorly this year. I actually jumped down to Georgia Hall at 150-1. If you're going to make a case about someone who can just kind of keep the ball in play, there's your player right there. And then after that, I think you're kind of struggling to find anyone that you really want to get into. Beyond that, I think that's going to be a no for me. Maybe an NG Chun, you know, semi-retired NG Chun, 250-1. But I think that would be enough for me. Let's talk a little bit about LIV Golf Korea. They are going from Mexico City to Korea. That's a, what, 7,000 miles, right? for back-to-back tournaments. It's terrible scheduling. They're playing the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Incheon. Chose the President's Cup. What was that, like 8 years ago? 7 years ago, whatever it was. So my picks are based on a couple of guys that were around for that, Patrick Reed and Mark Leishman. I don't really have a whole lot of value to offer from LIV. I don't think there's a whole lot of value to offer. The intriguing thing to me is their best player is Joaquin Niemann, right? He's got 3 wins on the season. He's won basically half the events. He's cleaning up, yet he can't finish in the top 15 in a major. What does that tell you about LIV setups? What does it tell you about where they're playing? It's really hard to draw parallels. So a lot of LIV events feel random, but you had a common winner in 3 of them so far this year. You see the same players at the top of the leaderboard between Niemann and Rahm and Hatton. Chambo and Sergio to a degree, Cam Smith sometimes, but I mean, this is like a 5-guy tour. So if you want to bet any of those 5, they are priced like it. If you want some value, here's some guys to consider. I would not bet guys that short of a price. It would almost be to the point where a strategy I used a couple of years ago in the Champions Tour that worked, where I would arbitrage it. I would, if you had guys priced at 5-1 or better, I bet the top 5 guys, and you'd eke out a small win. If the longest guy won, you got a little bit more. If the shortest guy won, you basically broke even. That would be my strategy for LIV right now. That's just how I feel about it. Then last slide here, Korn Ferry Tour is in Tulum. It's their last event of the year outside of the United States. It continues to run. First year for this event. So I want to pick a couple guys who have maybe played down there on the PGA Tour. That's Russell Knox. That's Josh Teeter. Knox played in the Punta Cana event. I like him at that 44-1 number. He's playing pretty well. Had a pretty decent season. Josh Teeter is 70-1. Had a really good season. He's going to get his PGA Tour card back almost certainly. He's already won. He won at Panama. Not trying to draw parallels between those two courses, between Panama and here. But just saying, Teeter as a guy who can keep the ball in play, seems to like playing places that have a lot of kind of tropical nature to it, meaning you're forced to kind of hit in smaller areas. I think those are the two guys I would think about this week. That's going to do it for us on this episode and this week of The Press. Thank you so much for watching or listening. I appreciate it. After a couple of weeks, our high school golf season ends, so we'll be able to do 3 shows each week, a little bit regular cadence. But thank you for your patience in the meantime. Hopefully you're enjoying the programming. You can join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at thegolfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me on social media at Ryan Ballingy. Happy to answer your questions, whether you're a member or not. Email me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. You can watch this show on Golf News Net TV, which is available on our apps for Amazon, Fire, and Roku, as well as on Zeem, Freecast, and Free Life Sports. And watch this show on our YouTube channel. You can also listen to this show wherever you get it as a podcast, including on our audio-only YouTube channel, Golf News Net Radio. Good luck with all your bets this week. We will see you next week. Thanks so much for catching us here on the